From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's program, we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. The trial of your faith. Faith untried may be true faith, but it is sure to be little faith, and it is likely to remain dwarfish so long as it is without trials. Faith never prospers so well as when all things are against her. Tempests are her trainers, and lightnings are her illuminators. When a calm reigns on the sea, spread the sails as you will, the ship moves not to its harbor. For on a slumbering ocean the keel sleeps too. Let the winds rush howling forth, and let the waters lift up themselves. Then, though the vessel may rock, and her deck may be washed with waves, and her mast may creak under the pressure of the full and swelling sail, it is then that she makes headway towards her desired haven. No flowers wear so lovely a blue as those which grow at the foot of the frozen glacier. No stars gleam so brightly as those which glisten in the polar sky. No water tastes so sweet as that which springs amid the desert sand. And no faith is so precious as that which lives and triumphs in adversity. Tried faith brings experience. You could not have believed your own weakness had you not been compelled to pass through the rivers, and you would have never known God's strength had you not been supported amid the water floods. Faith increases in solidity, assurance, and intensity the more it is exercised with tribulation. Faith is precious, and its trial is precious too. Let not this, however, discourage those who are young in faith. You will have trials enough without seeking them. The full portion will be measured out to you in due season. Meanwhile, if you cannot yet claim the result of long experience, thank God for what grace you have. Praise Him for that degree of holy confidence whereunto you have attained. Walk according to that rule, and you shall have yet more and more of the blessing of God, till your faith shall remove mountains and conquer impossibilities.
Great cause. I will not live for selfish gain or die for man's applause. My Savior, love, my passion, King, is every blessed word I'll cling. To Him is every wish I'll bring till Jesus calls me home.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. As he proceeds with this study in the law of God, Dr. Cairns is dealing with the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. Rather than a simple injunction regarding the relationship between parents and children, this commandment embodies man's responsibility to all God-ordained authority. As Dr. Cairns has already intimated, this includes the roles of the church and the state as extensions of the domestic arrangements of the home. As Paul wrote in Romans 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. On the most basic level, parents are to manifest this, in that fathers should be reflections of God, and mothers should mirror the role of the church in their love and care for their offspring. Now to continue this message on the fifth commandment, here is Dr. Cairns.
There are duties for parents. I can sum them up in three things. Parents are first to instruct their children. Teaching is the primary duty of parents. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. This is just one of many texts that you could cite from the Word. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Teach them diligently. You remember what the Lord said of Abraham? I would to God he could say it of every father. He says, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. God looked down on Abraham and says, I know that man. Of course, he knows every man. God's not fooled by the color of your skin or the smile in your face or the culture that you wrap yourself in. He's not fooled by that. God knows every man. I wonder tonight when he looks at you, can he say, I know that man, that he will command his home, his children, his household. He will teach them. He will instruct them. Parents are meant to spend time teaching their children. Not just the mothers. Somehow or other we have reached this stage where we have almost got a matriarchal society. Somehow or other we've reached the stage where it's the mother who gathers the children around. It's the mother who prays with the children. It's the mother who teaches the children the Bible. It's the mother who teaches them anything. It's the mother who does the schooling at home. It's the mother who does everything in the rearing and the teaching of the child. And I'm not for a moment wishing to denigrate or undervalue the input of godly mothers. Having had a godly mother is the last thing in the world I would want to do. I want to tell you, it doesn't say mothers teach your children. It's not just the mothers. Oh, they're not out of the picture. They're a vital part of it. But I can tell you, it's especially the fathers. And if your job makes it too difficult for you to spend time with your children, in God's name, change your job rather than damn your family. That's what it's saying. Teach your children. Spend time with them. You notice in this text there's a time when fathers and mothers and children can actually sit down and talk. You notice that? How many American homes is that true of? Let's not just talk about America. This is a huge place. How many homes in this congregation tonight is it true of? This is a school town. I came from a town in Northern Ireland that was known colloquially as Cowtown. So I've come from Cowtown to Culture Town. Shock was great, especially for you. You know, you can get so busy with the all-consuming demands of school whether as a student or a teacher, that your family never sits down together, never has time together to talk about the Word of God and apply it to your lives. I'm going to tell you, my friend, I don't care if you tell me you're doing the work of God, I will tell you ultimately you will live to regret it. Time for parents to teach their children. And that instruction should be eminently biblical instruction. I think that it is not taught that the only thing God ever teaches or says is people should teach their children is the Bible. If that were so, then the Bible would never refer to subjects outside of itself as if people should know them. But every part of the teaching should be eminently biblical. That says that no parent should be content to see his children grow up, maybe with a PhD in whatever subject you want, but still to grow up to blaze a trail along the road to hell. Surely no wise parent could ever be satisfied with that. Remember what I read from 3 John verse 4? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. That's true not only of spiritual children, but of natural children. Can any parent have a greater joy than to know my children are walking in the truth? We want our children to be educated. We want our children, and I'll have something to say about this, even to become cultured. We want our children to be fitted for jobs. We want our children to be able to take a place that is viable in this economic age in which we're living. All those things are legitimate. But the most important thing is to know that our children are walking in the truth. And I don't think it would give us, any one of us, any pleasure to stand over the coffin of one of our children and know that he had lived and died in sin and gone to hell and say, well, you know, he made a lot of money, he got a great job. So what? So what? Teach your children biblically. Of course, that means you yourself have got to submit to the biblical gospel. That means you yourself have got to know what it is to believe and to repent and to receive Christ and walk accordingly. For if you despise the truth of the gospel yourself, you certainly can't influence your children to honor it and receive it. In other words, to be the best parent, you should be a Christian parent, thoroughly dedicated unto Christ. Now, parents must take this task of educating their children seriously. That's not to say for one moment that education is exclusively the role of parents. There are some people who have taken the homeschool idea to a great extreme as to say that the only people who have a right to teach are parents. Well, I think that's stretching the scripture way beyond anything that it was intended to teach. For instance, we find in the Old Testament not only parents, but the Levites had a God-given teaching role. So that instruction was not left only to parents. We find in the church, God has not left teaching and instruction only to parents. He has actually called pastor teachers to the place of instruction. Not only so, we find the Bible speaking of the schools of the prophets. So there were actual, if we could call them colleges or seminaries. We read of Paul that as Saul of Tarsus, he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. So very clearly in the scriptures, there's a place for schools. And there's a place for what we might even call Sunday schools, and there's a place for seminaries, as long as they don't become spiritual cemeteries. There is a place for them all. But parents are never to be mere onlookers. Nowadays, it's the state that claims the role of being the primary educator of children. And the results of that decision have been disastrous. As churches and parents, and you remember it used to be that it was the church that was the center of the local school. It was the church that set up the school. It was the church that set the curriculum. It was the church that administered the discipline. And family and church worked together. But somehow or other, with increasing socialization, church and family gave over the responsibility to the state. And the results have been disastrous because of, as churches and parents have abdicated responsibility to be fully involved in the development of their children, and have handed that task over to the state, what has happened? Families have disintegrated. And the state itself is suffering the consequences. Because no matter who's in government, and this is the grieving thing, when Christians get carried away with some political party or some political philosophy, doesn't matter who's in government, why the families of America are falling apart, America's falling apart. Nothing can change that. Can't be done. God starts with the home. Remember what I said? Church and state were God-given extensions of the domestic arrangement, not the other way around. Results of the state as the primary educator have certainly been a tragedy. Parents to instruct their children. Parents are to provide for their children. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 14 says, children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. So it's the parents' role to provide for the children. Not only physically, they must provide physically. It's their duty. I don't want to get off. If I were in another part of the world, I may have to do this. It's not the state's responsibility. And I'm not saying for a moment that a state should be careless and make no provision for children in great need. I'm not saying there should be no safety net. I'm not getting into that argument even. But I am saying this, that it is not the role of the state to rear your children. That's your role. And rearing them, as we read in Ephesians 6, means nurturing them, feeding them, caring for them. There is provision physically. But that's not all it's talking about. There's the extension of this to emotionally and morally and spiritually providing for them. Now that is the calling of parents. The calling of parents is to provide the best possible home for their children. And providing the best possible home for children, you know, has very little to do with wealth and luxury. Some of the worst homes you could ever be in are some of the most wealthy. And some of the best homes you could ever be in are some that have very little of this world's goods. Providing the best possible home for children has little to do with wealth and luxury. All too often, especially in this society in which we live, there's such an emphasis on providing for the physical, providing financially, that these other areas are either overlooked or at least downgraded. And that's absolute and abject folly. We should do all in our power to ensure that we cater for every aspect of the need of a child. That's the calling of parents, to provide physically, financially, emotionally, morally, spiritually. That's the calling of a parent, to provide. Now listen very carefully. I wish I didn't even have to mention this, and I'm going to be very careful of what I say. If that's the role of a parent, then no parent has the right to abuse or ruin a child. I realize that this word abuse is a buzzword among secular socialists. But don't let that blind you. We all know that it is also a tragic reality. Many parents, and I have known some of them, look on their children as mere chattels, and they treat them as slaves. In many homes, sadly, some of them supposed to be Christian homes, sadly, again, many of them even preachers' homes. In many homes, mental and physical cruelty are meted out at the whim of a foul-tempered father or mother.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.